Hear ye, hear ye. Welcome to the Crunch Exchange. I'm here to ask Steve questions from the world of sports, and Steve will tell us if he is buying, if he is selling, or the often not used, pending, except for last week when I think he used it three times. So we begin. Lamar Jackson, in his first 8 weeks of the season, attempted 12 passes for 87 yards while rushing for 139. The Baltimore Ravens were cautious of their use of Jackson early in the season while their elite, quarterback Joe Flacco was still running the offense. While Joe was running the Ravens, they managed three games with more than 400 yards of total offense, two of which came against the Bengals and the Browns, so they don't really count. When Flacco hurt his hip, the Ravens were able to unleash their dual-threat quarterback that they traded up for at the end of the first round in Lamar Jackson, who is now averaging 150 passing yards and 84 rushing yards a game in his four starts. Ravens have now rushed for over 200 yards a game while Lamar has been quarterback, as well as two games where the Ravens have gone over 400 yards until they lost to the Chiefs in overtime. The fight and Lamar Jackson's were undefeated until that loss with Jackson, and they're right back in the mix with the AFC North. Flacco's allegedly ready to play, but John Harbaugh doesn't want to stop riding the hot hand of Lamar Jackson and has almost seamlessly transitioned from the 33-year-old Flacco to the future of the Ravens. Flacco has 3 years left on his contract for $62.5 million, where his salary will double from $12 million this year to $24 million in the final year of his contract, when Flacco will be 36. The prospectus: Joe Flacco will not start another game in Baltimore.
You know, I was really on the fence about that, but unless Jackson gets hurt, I really think at this point there's only three games, and I don't think he's coming back as their starting quarterback. I'm actually going to buy that. He's done.
I think he's going to make a great Jacksonville Jaguar next year. After starting off the season on a tear like no other, Todd Gurley has slowed down a bit. Through his first nine games, he was averaging 97 yards on the ground and had 12 rushing touchdowns. He was threatening LaDainian Tomlinson's record of total touchdowns in a season and was saving fantasy leagues all across the country. However, in his last four games, he's averaging 83 yards a game and in only three rushing touchdowns. Unlike Gurley in the open field, he has been caught from behind and now passed as the leader in rushing yards this season by Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke in his last four is averaging 107 rushing yards a game, thanks in large part to defenses not loading up the box and focusing on Amari Cooper in the passing game. Zeke has a 60-yard lead with three games remaining in the season over Gurley. Not that far behind is also Saquon Barkley, who is 80 behind Gurley and 140 behind Zeke. Giants and Cowboys aren't going to go down without a fight, and Zeke is too vital to Dallas to go unused, and the Giants have proven they will use their stars until there's literally nothing left in the tank. The Rams finished the season against Philly, Arizona, and San Francisco. They could have the 2 seed and possibly a top seed in the NFC wrapped up, and are going to want to keep Gurley fresh for the playoffs. And at the same time, Gurley's never led the league in rushing in his 4 years. The prospectus: Todd Gurley will lead the league in rushing this year.
Now, how's it stand right now?
It is Zeke, Gurley, Saquon.
And how many yards are separated?
It's about 60 yards between Zeke and Gurley, and then like another 70 to Barkley.
I think it's a toss-up between the three of them, so I'll take the 2 and 3 the other way and sell that.
Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic has an article out that you tweeted and said, quote, boo, and quote, hiss. Has to do with the college football playoff expanding to 4 teams, where they're at now to 8 teams. This discussion has been around essentially since the playoff was created. People always want more teams to be in. They want more teams to be able to get their shot to take down Alabama, because that's all college football is rooting for Bama to lose. Big name players in the playoff system have been discussing expanding the playoffs and bringing in some big changes to the system that they have now. All five conference champions would be involved, the group of six champion would be in, and 2 at-large bids, but the big change would be no conference championship games. And conferences like those games because, 1, you get a true conference champion, and 2, they make money. In this new model, first-round games would be on campus, then the 6 New Year's 6 bowl games for the semifinals like we have now, and everything else is the same. I know you're against it, but people want to have more games in the season, and when you have more games, that means you can basically have Alabama lose more games, and the committee would also only be picking 2 of the 8 teams that make the playoff instead of all 4 of them now. So the prospectus: the playoff expands to 8 teams by 2020.
Not even close. Sell it immediately without a second
thought. So against that. The MLB hot stove hasn't really been all that hot quite yet. Patrick Corbin more or less ruined it by signing before the MLB winter meetings in Vegas, taking what felt like the first offer he saw to sign with the Nationals. Yes, there's Harper and Machado are still out there, but it feels like we're even weeks away from them getting a deal. The only conversations are now about trades. The Mets went all in with Edwin Diaz, but now they want to trade away Syndergaard. The Windians have been wanted to trade away either one of Corey Kluber or Trevor Bauer, and the Giants might move away three-time World Series champion and World Series MVP Madison Bumgarner. My Gigantes are just horrible. They hired a new GM, Farhan Zaidi, to try and rebuild their farm system, also bring the Giants in the 21st century with their analytics of Billy Bean and Theo Epstein-like math getting involved. And Mad Bum's the only big piece that the Giants can offer to really jumpstart this rebuild. He's only 29. His injury problems are only off-field when he's crashing his dirt bike on an off day, so his value is relatively high, and he would get a really great return in prospects, but the Giants would also have wouldn't have an ace and just a bad starting rotation. Would they get MLB-ready prospects in return? Would it be worth it? The prospectus, the Giants should trade away Madison Bumgarner.
You know, at this point, if they feel like they're years away from contending, that's the decision. Keep him with Posey and with some of the parts they have. Can they get right back, or has Arizona, Colorado? And remember, it's a tougher division now. So I hate to say it. He's the kind of guy you hope would be a lifer. You've already got three titles. I actually buy that. I don't want to, but I'm buying that.
Yeah, it's a sad reality I'm going to have to live with here. Last one. The Raiders are just such a fun dumpster fire to pay attention to. On the field, they're bad, but they somehow beat the Steelers, thanks in large part to playing on a field that was grass collected from dumpsters. And off the field, John Gruden has allegedly fired their GM so he can be a pseudo-GM for the rest of the season. And now the city of Oakland has filed an antitrust lawsuit against the Raiders that will force them to leave Oakland even faster than scheduled. The Raiders' deal with the ODOT Co. ends at the end of this year, so all along, the Raiders really haven't had a home to play in already. The 49ers have previously said that the Raiders would not be allowed to play at Levi's, so staying in the Bay is out of the question, unless Cal or Stanford open their doors to the Raiders. St. Louis seemed pretty mad when the Rams left. They could manage maybe seven games next year, and I say seven because the Raiders are actually hosting a London game, so the burden is that much less. Or maybe San Diego. The leftover San Diego County Credit Union Stadium is still in football condition thanks to the San Diego City Aztecs who play there. The Holiday Bowl is, of course, in San Diego, so it's not impossible. The only problem is, of course, how many San Diego fans would go to games knowing that it's the Chargers' divisional rival playing in the home of their former team. Might not be the best look, but I don't think Roger Goodell honestly cares about fans at all, seeing that he already moved the Chargers out of San Diego. The prospectus, the 2019 Raiders will play in San Diego.
I can't accept that. They'll come up with something else. They'll play in the Bay Area. They'll play at Stanford Stadium. They're not going to San Diego. I've got, on behalf of just logic and rationale and decency, I'm selling that.